We're having a little bit of a kind of a hot debate here when we first got in to record this. A little miscommunication, if you will, as far as what we were actually going to be talking about tonight.
Yeah, I think that did happen.
There's a bright red jacket over there, and so it's kind of stealing the show. But we're going to leave that up as proof of our misunderstanding, if you will. So the jacket's going to make an appearance. Probably next episode.
Yeah, in an episode or two.
Now, I might even wear it. It's possible I'll wear it. I should put it on.
Now. I mean, now that it's already hung up there on the...
You wore the rack. I'm thinking I'll wear it.
Now you wore the ridiculous hat. I mean, you might as well wear the jacket.
Why not? Yeah. I'm game.
What's the size on that?
I didn't check. Let's just say before my recent loss of a little bit of weight, I would have never been able to get into it. But I tried it on, and while it's a rather snug fit, it's not uncomfortably snug. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. So it triggered a question in my mind for you. There are at least one that maybe you could answer. Have you ever gone into, it doesn't have to necessarily be a preaching, sort of speaking engagement, and changed it up very last minute?
Yes.
And now, do you have an example of when that may have gone poorly? Or if you don't, that's fine. But I would love to hear that example. What were you
doing? I also want to know, changed it up at the last second. Yes, that sounds like it's under his control. I also want to hear about, like, maybe a time where you got asked or put something put in front of you at the last second that... in front of people that you had to handle. Speaking engagement.
That I'll have to think about.
Okay.
If that's
answer
happened.
The first one then first.
The first one, yeah, but I don't remember the specifics about it, but I do remember sitting, I don't remember when this was. It's happened off and on. Mm-hmm. Sitting back and thinking, nah, gonna have to go some other direction. Why that happens, I'm not always sure. You know, we preachers would like to say it's because the Holy Spirit told us to.
Yeah.
You don't always know. There may be other variables, or it just didn't seem to fit. It didn't seem like it was the right thing or the right approach. Or an idea came to your mind that said, this fits what's happening around me. Maybe it was in worship. Maybe it was in what we do, which we call share time at Grace and Truth Church, where I pastored for many years. Is we would do a share time, and so you would hear things, and you would feel like there was a flow of something going on. Now, when I say that I would switch, it didn't normally like switch, you know, drastically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But certainly the way I go at it and entering into it, yeah, it'd be drastically different sometimes because it just didn't seem to fit.
You don't have any like train wreck, like, oh, shouldn't have done that examples of when you switched it up last minute?
I don't.
I'm not trying to foreshadow anything because I hope this isn't going to be a train wreck. I'm just, you know, curious.
No, I don't. Because I'm not uncomfortable switching gears in midstream, I'm normally not too uncomfortable with it.
You're too... He can go. With the he's too flexible for that. So we might get someone. Yeah, I guess you get if someone was more like afraid of public speaking or something like
can
that.
Can I use a football analogy?
Sure.
It's like a quarterback coming up to the line.
Yeah.
And you have an audible, and you come and you see the defense. The way I understand it, mm-hmm. I've never been a quarterback, but that's the way I understand it. It's like you come up to the you say, wait a minute. This offensive play won't work with that defense.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. And if you're a quarterback that's brand new and uncomfortable in that role, would not call an audible. He might run the play.
He might, but he probably has his audible is probably pre-called.
Yeah.
So he could switch to one other thing, and that's it.
Right. So it's that sort of thing, and that's why – I'm no more uncomfortable with doing that than a quarterback would be getting up to the line of scrimmage and saying, no, we need to run a different play.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing on the, like, just completely thrown into the fire scenarios?
That's I find that hard to believe because you've done that to other people.
Yeah. I mean, in a much smaller scale. Yeah. But.
Well, maybe I don't remember it because it doesn't seem odd to me. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem odd to me that that would happen.
I mean, it's just one of those, I feel like it happened, if it happened once, it happened a million times at Grace and Truth where he would have yanked somebody up there and they'd be like, I didn't know Steve was going to get me up here today. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was trying to think if
you surely had, it's been done to you, right? Yeah.
But if they would call on me at the last minute, that'd be fine with me.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody today who's a more new teacher, I was saying to this person, I said, the longer you do this, the more you start speaking out of what's already built inside of you rather than your script in front of you.
Right.
And so for me, when like tonight, when you come and tell me, no, we're not doing that, we're doing this.
Which we had talked about. Agreed to.
We had talked about, yeah, which we had apparently agreed to and I forgot. I'll give you that. But my train of thought was in a certain direction based upon what we're probably going to do next episode. And so then I have to shift gears and so forth, but I'm not uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'd be a train wreck either.
Nah, it won't.
So, I'm sorry, the jacket is so bright. If you can't see, if you're just watching on, or if you're just listening on podcast, it's Dad's Letterman jacket from high school, and it's like, okay, there are a few things on it that aren't bright red, but for the most part, yeah, just like end to end, it is a bright red.
Except the
jacket.
Big M with yes. The little baseball on it, standing for Miller County. Miller
County High.
And then off to the right shoulder, there is a pirate. So we were the Miller County Pirates. I was a 4-year letterman in baseball. That's all we need to say, probably. Yeah.
So we'll get you'll hear a little bit more about the Miller County Pirates,
yeah.
and their incredible record under Dad during his tenure.
The Miller County Pirates prowess, can't be beat.
If you will.
Our saying was the Miller County Pirates can't be beat.
Oh, they can.
But the baseball team that I had proved them wrong.
They could be beat.
And they were beat.
Over and over.
Relentlessly and over without mercy.
Again, the first game, we played a double A team, and we were a single A school. The first game I played in as a freshman, we got beat by this team who were the eventual state champions. Oh. Blakely, Georgia champions, who beat us 33-2.
Call it.
And I scored the only two runs that my team scored that game.
Humble brag.
33-2. It's very vivid in my mind.
Yeah.
All humble right, brag.
Save
yeah,
some
not?
Of that pain for next episode. We dig
store that 3-2.
We want you to stew on that yeah. for the next 7 days.
Dig in.
And then and bring that back next
week. Don't mind if I do.
Next week.
A lot of therapy involved.
So yes. What we're actually talking about stems off if you watched our previous episode, and if you were watching on video, you'll remember the hat pointing two different ways.
It's still there back behind.
How could you forget? Hat. Hidden behind
it's
the jacket.
It's kind of hidden right here. Just so in case you missed it.
Yeah.
In case you missed that episode, here's that hat. I am their leader. Which way did they go?
Do we have that in frame, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. I am their leader. Which way did they go?
That's the hat. That's the
double billed hat. It looks so beautiful.
Go back and watch that one if you have a chance. And if you're listening, also go back and watch that one.
Right.
That's that one that's got a good visual. Staying in Derek and I were laughing about this earlier today. So staying in the hat vein and at risk, we know the name of the podcast, it's Preacher in the Hat, and we're talking about hats, and we talked about hats last episode. We promise we won't overdo the hat thing, and I really want to promise we won't use the word hat in this episode, but I feel like it's going to be said like 150 times.
And it's already been a lot.
It's already been a bunch. So you've had this discussion with us over the years.
Yeah.
So long before Preacher in the Hat ever came to be, yeah. Let's go ahead and set the stage that way. Long before Preacher in the Hat ever came to be, you framed this discussion using yeah. hats and wearing multiple hats in multiple roles.
I did it oftentimes in leadership training for other leaders because I thought it was a way to help them understand potential challenges they might have.
Right. And so... For example, you know, when we talk about hats, we're talking about generally talking about roles as they pertain to life. So one hat could be who you quote unquote are at work, and you know versus who you are at home.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Husband, father, you know that sort of thing versus how you're at work. So that's and then how those two. Not just those two things, but multiple things like that and roles like that can bleed into each other and cross over when it can become a negative.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you to tell a story that is not, it's not your story, but I think it's a really good one. And it's not a private story. It's one that's been published in a book.
That's
I'm going to want you to share that one.
Yeah.
To kind of set the stage for why we're talking about this.
Many years ago, I read an article as a young leader in a leadership magazine. Christianity Today put it out. And the article was by a man named Fred Smith, who was a CEO, I believe, of FedEx, if I'm right about that. It was a Fortune 500 company somewhere. But anyhow, he was a Christian, a believer, and he was writing this magazine about how he responded to his son who was getting married one day. And he went to him and he said, "Now, son, I've had a lot of experience in leadership. You know, I've been married quite a while to your mom. I've been this, I've been that. And so if you have any questions or about family life or anything like that, I'd be glad to talk to you about it." And he, in this article, and I'm not quoting exactly, but the gist of the article was his son told him, said, "No, Dad, you don't have anything to teach me about family. There's a lot of things you might have taught me, but not about family." He said, "Because you were a businessman, and when you came home, in our context, you kept your business hat on, and Mom was the vice president of this corporation. And we children were on different levels in the corporation, or we were employees in the corporation." He said, "So you treated our family like a business, and you brought that same approach." That, to me, was actually a very sad story on the one hand. Yeah. It wasn't that it was a great rift between him and his son. I didn't hear that. I don't think it was they didn't like each other, but his son was letting him know, kind of late, the man was just about to leave home, kind of late, that, "Dad, you treated our family like a business." That is the ultimate example, I think, of what it means to mix your hats and not be alert to what hat do I wear when. So if efficiency at work is something that I focus upon, and I bring that same thing home to my family every night, then it's going to have a negative impact because it's not the same environment. So this confusion happens and problems happen when you don't recognize what hat you have on and or be willing to change the hat that you have on. So there's two things. If you don't recognize it, it can be damaging. But if you do recognize it and refuse to change it, that can be damaging too. That's the gist of that story. And I think it was, while he never used the hat analogy, I think that's where that came from for me. And so I've had experiences that we'll talk about probably down through the years where I didn't even understand the multi-hat thing until after the fact, although I knew something was making me uncomfortable in the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's thought provoking for me. And if, you know, for everybody who's listening, and I think it's a, I think it's like an it's a necessary exercise to kind of go through, and especially for, you know, those of us in the workforce to kind of, you know, evaluate mm-hmm. Whether or not that's something that we might be doing. I know because you shared that story with us a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, it's something that I have thought about a lot over the years and want to make sure, you know, that's not something that I do. Now I'm relatively, blessed in this manner. Like with my work, a lot of times, I'm really just trying to, you know, my job is to, help people out and care about people and, you know, and how they relate to each other. And so, you know, that's that flows okay. You know, but I'm also mm-hmm. trying to, you know, coach people on how they can improve stuff, you know, if I come home and, you know, I'm always trying to coach improvement, mm-hmm. With my family, it's one of those things. It's just one of those things that, you know, ever since you've shared that story with me, it's just like, it's one of those things I got to make sure that I'm not, you know, I just don't want to dig in like mm-hmm. that, you know, kind of like you said with that article, it's not that it was this necessarily ended up being a massive rift. I think there was a lot of respect between these two guys. But just that I don't want to, you know, you don't want to be the, you know, I don't want to turn around and, you know, after 20, 25 years and, you know, realize that, you know, my wife and I tried to, you know, run our household like a business, mm-hmm. you know, so, there's just a lot at stake there.
Other stories that I've heard are like for preachers, since this is preacher in the hat, preachers' children sometimes feel like their father, I'm told, treated them as a preacher, not as a father. It doesn't mean that there's not some good parallels mm-hmm. there. There can be good parallels there. But when it's not just whether I know what hat I have on, it's do you know which hat I have on? And children sometimes are not sure which hat you have on, I've found. And you have to be specific about it sometimes to say, I'm not coming to you like that, I'm coming to you like this. Now, if you don't have, if your children or your family doesn't see you in multiple roles, that may not be a problem. But if they see you, like with pastors, most of the time the children are in the church mm-hmm. where the pastor is. And so that they see them in the role of pastor with the hat on of the preacher. And sometimes it's good for the preacher to say, I don't have my preacher hat on now. I'm your daddy. To me, that's important to either say. It's certainly important to practice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember not exact moments, but like kind of the process of finding out, because I guess it was just so different for us growing up as, you know, pastors' kids, that kind of finding out over the years that for the most part, and for a lot of, you know, kids in that scenario, that it was viewed as a negative thing. Yeah,
it was. Has been.
You know, and it was something for us that didn't really carry that connotation. I don't know how you felt about that, but it was. I just remember it being interesting, thinking about like, oh, everybody kind of views this in a negative light. That really wasn't the way that it carried on for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think when your biggest complaint is that you stay late everywhere you go, like then I think that it turned out pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was our, if you would have asked us then, like, what do you quote unquote hate the most about being a preacher's kid? We would have been like, well, dad stays and talks to everybody no matter where, you know, at any point where we go. And, so
and
like,
or he wanted us to talk to everybody.
Which was worse, at least from my perspective. That was, you know, so I think you look back as you get older and realize, it was kind of surprising to know that not a lot of people had that same experience mm-hmm. or had such a negative connotation for them to be you know, a preacher's kid.
May I say to you that some of the people that I worked with, when they would meet our four children, your two sisters and the two of you, were shocked and surprised because they couldn't understand it, for their experience had been that when they grew up in the church, the pastor's kids were the wildest ones around.
Yeah.
And the ones who rebelled the most. And so they would come to me and like, and they would be shocked. And I would be not shocked.
I remember it's like everywhere we went, and like anytime you tell somebody, especially not in church settings, in church settings it wasn't the case, but in like non-church settings, everybody like expected you to be bad, you know, because, and you know, like I said, it's just, that wasn't really the case.
No,
and it wasn't. And I'm like, oh, no, you misunderstand. I'm deeply terrified of punishment.
Oh, yes. But I actually remember one specific scenario growing up where it was the opposite. Wherever you said, like, everybody expects you to be bad. Mm-hmm. We were in the neighborhood, and we were probably like 12 years old, 13 years old. Maybe. You remember this?
Yes, I know exactly.
What yeah, I don't know this story.
And I don't remember even what we were doing. May, you know, like I said, we were 12, 13 years old, and feel certain that we could have done something or said something.
You don't remember what was happening? You don't remember what people were doing?
No.
Some of our other friends were ding dong ditching.
Okay. All right. So
doorbell ditching. Okay. In the middle of the day. So it wasn't
Okay. So, but we weren't?
No.
Okay. All right. So some people that we knew, apparently, some kids that we knew,
some younger kids
were ringing doorbells and running.
Oh, okay. 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 Okay.
All right. And this lady comes out of her house. And I don't know, we were standing there or something, or maybe we didn't like...
You were just kind of sitting up off across the street.
Yeah.
There's a little grass hill.
That's right.
You're just kind of sitting up.
Yeah. So, and she's like, says, you know, makes some sort of comment. I don't know what it was, whatever. But then it was like, aren't y'all preachers' kids? And we were just like, yeah. But I just remember, you know, we didn't do anything. Yeah. But I remember we came back and we told Dad.
Oh.
And Dad was mad.
Oh,
Dad
would have been mad at this. Coming back to
Dad
me a little bit.
Dad was mad at this lady. Now, I don't know if you ever like went and said anything or anything like that.
Well, let me tell you why I was. Because I never thought, I never would stand for anybody to come to me in church or outside of church and try to convince me that you all should have a higher standard than their kids did.
That's what it was.
That would anger me. It would anger me on every level.
Because we get home and we're like, Dad, you know, what, some kids are doing this stuff, and we're telling him. Yeah. And Dad was like, what? She said, what? And you're like, wait.
So I wasn't mad at the kids. I wasn't mad at the kids. I was mad at the adult that was cracking on y'all.
Yeah. Ringing doorbell ditching. Yeah, and Dad didn't care about that.
That's how it bothered him.
I got way off track with that one. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't.
It comes back to, it really does come back to what Dad was saying, and like how in that moment he didn't wear that and say, you know, and look at you like, you know, Derek, you are a preacher's kid. You should be better than that.
You should be careful. Like, you should be careful not to be around people that are doing that.
Right. And but
that's how some preachers would.
It was like, no, it was like, no, that y'all are my kids, and everyone else should be held to the same standard you're held to.
Yeah, and there wasn't. Yeah, that makes sense because there was no like impression we were upholding some image of his.
I mean,
or
just like that pause that on that for a second and think about we went to tell Dad.
That's true.
You know, which would of course also include the fact that we were telling Dad that we were at least standing by and not stopping people, you know, from ringing doorbells running. Yeah. Like I said, it was in the middle of broad daylight. I think it was like, you know, after school one day. Relax, everybody.
But that's infuriating that they were trying to place a hat on you, the preacher's kid hat on you. When for me, all the only hat you had on was a kid's hat, not a preacher's kid hat. Same.
I think that is the one example that I have of it being like the opposite expectation.
Yeah. That's wild.
But people will kind of twist stuff to, you know, fit whatever they want. Yeah. But That's one memory that has stuck with me about the whole preacher.
So can we switch gears and let me be the son for a minute and tell you when being the son got me confused about wearing different multiple hats?
Yeah, go ahead. I have no idea where this is going.
So I became a pastor to my parents.
Oh, yeah.
When I was 24 years old. I was ordained when I was 22, and I became a pastor to my parents because they moved from our hometown in Georgia to Alabama, where I was pastoring, and they joined that church. And so all of a sudden, I am 24 years old. My parents are in their 40s, so they're still very young then, and I am now their pastor. Now, I want to tell you, that was a confusing hat for me momentarily. Not all the time, but they played that so well with me, it was unbelievable. They never gave the impression, oh, that's my son, the pastor. They never said that at all. They treated me with the same respect they would have any other pastor, which blows my mind to this day. Not just that they respected me as a person, but they respected my judgment. So here we are in a meeting where my dad is in the meeting, and I'm one of the pastors, and we're having a meeting, and in the middle of the meeting, it became clear that my dad, who at times could speak up about it, and he was not a leader, he certainly never was a pastor, but he, in the middle of the meeting, it was clear he and I were on two different sides of an issue. I mean, I don't remember what the issue was. And I remember being very uncomfortable because I had great respect for my dad, and I still look to his wisdom and so forth. And so in the course of that meeting, I stood my ground and he stood his. But when we got home, when I got home, we lived in the same, obviously the same community, but not the same house. So I got on the phone and I said, Dad, I've got to tell you, tonight when we were in that meeting, I was very uncomfortable with disagreeing with you publicly there in that meeting. I was very uncomfortable with that. I'll never forget what he said, ever forget what he said. His words to me were, and this is a man who understood multiple hats, clearly. He said, Steve, you're one of the pastors of that church. Don't you ever change your mind because I disagree with you. He said, if God tells you to do something, you do it, whether I agree with you or not. I cannot tell you to this day, y'all see this, you know, he died several months ago at 88. But for him to do that when I was 24 or 25 and he was 45, still to this day, showed me that he, while he would never be able to understand the multi-hat thing, I don't know, I never had a conversation with him about it. He understood the multi-hat thing and knew that, you know, what hat I had on, what hat he had on, and I was never supposed to change my mind because he was my dad. Wow. I don't know how he did that, honestly. I don't think I was wrong. It wasn't one of these moral issues or anything like that, but it was a clear difference. Yeah. But I thank him. When I think about it, I thank him that he began to help me understand it even back then. And while I couldn't put it into context, we're doing it tonight, that was some of the beginning stages of me being able to understand that. Between a son who was a pastor, and now earlier we talked about a father who was connecting to his sons.
Yeah. And we dealt with something like that. The three of us dealt with something like that a lot later, of course.
We did.
After when we were, and then after we were in ministry, and then, of course, like the, you know, COVID sent the church and to. When I say the church, I mean like the church, not our church, like the church, into upheaval. Some of it necessary, but that, you know, that's beside the point. And so, you know, I mean, we experienced that too. That was so interesting too. I mean, that was like, you're talking about different hats. That was like multiple hats and then like hats inside of other hats.
It was.
Had some hatception going on.
But let me tell you, Eric, you spoke up that night to me and you said something to me that made me know you understood this conversation tonight. because when you came and talked to me afterwards about it immediately, you said, I want you, at some point in our conversation, you said, which was a good conversation, you said to me, Dad, I want you to know that what happened here tonight as leaders in this church and our disagreement has nothing to do with our relationship as father and son.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You said that. And you're the one who made it clear that you understood the different hats in that moment. So you taught me in that moment, maybe reminded me in that moment that that was good. And thank you for doing that. It was cool. Mm-hmm. But it's another... So you guys actually do understand probably better than what you might think in terms experientially about different hats and how to handle it. I think you know more about that than what you might think you know. That's my opinion. What's yours, Derek?
I was just mad that day.
It didn't matter.
I didn't get to the point that Eric got with that on that day. Yeah, no.
So Eric was the wise one.
I arrived later at that conclusion.
So you were leading the way, Eric, is what you were saying. You were leading me and him in that moment.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think Derek and I don't think we've ever really like the whole hat thing. Dadgummit, hat.
Yeah.
with like between me and you has like never really been an issue. I feel like with us, you know, just we're often, if not, I mean, always probably isn't the right word, quite the right word, but as close as you can get to always, you know, on similar sides of things. I feel like for like the two of us, it's been more of like as opposed to like trying to do this and that and, you know, like what am I doing here, what am I doing there, we kind of just like sewn together like two hats and made them one big hat and just wore it together at the same time.
Huh?
That's pretty much
huh?
not pointing two different ways. Man, that's an ugly hat.
Yeah, we're gonna keep bringing it out, I guess.
We've always just kind of I don't know if we've just actively avoided some of that or if we're just that much on the same page.
It's hard to tell anymore.
whether you're just actively avoiding it or if you just like just standardly agree because you're so like-minded. Everything just start you just kind of like, yeah. Just not it's just nodding your way.
It's like whenever we've tried to like work on something, you know, work on something creatively, a lot of times it helps to have like, you know, a third person.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of like-mindedness.
I see Chris is nodding his head yes on that. So maybe he's fine. The third person, huh?
Maybe so. I don't know.
He apparently is. But do you... Like is there anything that you would want to recap?
Yeah, I thought I saw that.
Yeah.
Fine, you did. You picked up on it. Finally, I would say this: it's become important for me not just to know what hat I have on, but to try to determine which hat the person I'm talking to thinks I have on. And I didn't do that early on.
Hmm.
What I mean is, how are they experiencing me? Case in point, I was a pastor and overseer. I was going to ordain some men, and I was going to do it at the church I was pastoring. And someone came to me in the congregation and said to me, well, we didn't even have an opportunity to respond as a congregation about the ordination of these people. I was doing it as an overseer, but I hadn't made that clear. And so it was confusing for this person, understandably, it was confusing for this person to look at me and to say, why is he doing that? Because in this case, this person was seeing me as the pastor when in fact I had my overseer/bishop's hat on. And so I've learned through the years to think, I wonder which hat they think I have on. Do I have my father hat on? Do I have my son hat on? Do I have this? Because the key is that your hats do not become your identity. Your role, your assignment does not become your identity. Mm-hmm. So I say to people like this, my hat is not my identity. My specific assignment in this moment is not my identity. It is just something I'm doing. It's a role I'm in. It's a hat I'm wearing. My identity is that I'm a son. That's my identity. I'm a son who sometimes is a father. I'm a son who sometimes is a pastor. I'm a son who sometimes works in criminal justice. I'm a son who sometimes was a chaplain in prison. I'm a son who sometimes is a neighbor. I'm a son who is, oh, I'm preaching now. Mm. Preacher in the hat, huh? I'm a son who sometimes is a leader of other pastors. I'm a son who sometimes, and I could go on.
Yeah.
But it's important. It was important for me many years ago to see this. So when I'm leaving a prison one day as a chaplain, one of the officers looks at me and says this, Reverend, chaplain, they call me chap, said, Chap, you going home? And I said, yeah, I'm going home. He said, I thought the Lord's work's never done. And I looked at him, I said, it's not my brother, I'm just changing locations. So the Lord's work is never done. I get to wear the hat of Papa now, and I love the hat of Papa. So when I walk through those doors and your kids are in my house, I'm Papa. I'm not pastor. I don't have my pastor's hat on. I don't have my overseer's hat on. I don't have my workaday world hat on. I'm Papa. I am Papa. But I'm still a son who is a Papa sometimes.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm done.
Well, if your spouse tells you you were saying the word hat in your dreams tonight, be sure to tell them to like, subscribe, and follow the preacher.
Preacher and that. And they will understand.
That's horrible.
For Derek, Steve, Chris, I'm Eric. As always, this has been The Preacher in the Hat. We'll see you next time.